Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There thrones for judgment were set, and thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls, and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. I invite you to join me in praying for Israel.
Amen.
What makes Israel unique? The answer is simple. They are chosen by God. The nation reflects God's covenant. It also was the nation who brought forth our Savior. The scripture tells us that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. In other words, what God gives, he doesn't retrieve. He never takes it back. As we pray for Israel, we are praying for a chosen people. God is not through with Israel. His plan is their redemption. Has that redemption occurred? Not yet. But it will. It will. And we, God's people, brought into the family of God by the Lord Jesus Christ, are engrafted. We're brought in to the covenant people. So I ask you to join me in praying for God's chosen. Would you stand with me? Our Heavenly Father, we lift up the nation of your choice. We pray for their peace. We pray for your sovereign, provident protection. Give them wisdom. Make them secure. And lift up your name that the world may know you are God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's my privilege today to introduce to you one of our own. David and Susan Rice serve as navigators. A navigator is someone who is committed to the discipleship of others. David and Susan have been members of Park Hills since the mid-1990s. We're grateful to have them. In fact, there is a Sunday school class in our church, a connection group in our church named after David Rice. Not only did he teach it, but he has become the object of their care and love and their concern over these years. And so, to the benefit of our memory and the connection of our prayer and support, we have that connection group. Not only that, but we, Park Hills, are privileged to participate in David and Susan's ministry through our budgetary giving. And it's a joy for me to introduce David from time to time to come and share with us what's going on in the ministry that he and Susan are doing. So, would you give a warm Park Hills welcome to our brother, David Rice? David?
Good morning, Park Hills. My name is David, as he mentioned. My wife, Susan, is back there. She's really the blessing, the greatest blessing in my life, and my greatest co-worker. Susan and I have been members of Park Hills Baptist Church since October 1996, shortly after we came back from serving in Africa, in Malawi, Africa, for 10 years. In 2007, Park Hills sent us to serve in Eurasia. This morning, we looked a little younger back then, didn't we, in 2007? This morning, we get to share just a part of what God is doing and taking the gospel to the uttermost parts. In writing the book of Acts, God used a believing Gentile physician, Luke, who was very courageous and was a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 1, Luke records the words of Jesus in another expression of the Great Commission. Please turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the remotest part of the earth." Jesus gave us a plan for advancing the gospel, and it was a strategy of sorts, a progression of taking the gospel from Jerusalem, which we just recently prayed for, and then moving it outwards to the uttermost parts of the earth. Stage one of that strategy. We see this worked out in Acts chapter 2 through 7, and it speaks of how the gospel began to spread and advance among the Jews and God-fearing people in Jerusalem, beginning at Pentecost. Stage two was to all Judea and Samaria, and we see that worked out in Acts chapter 8 through 12. In Acts 8, God transports Philip miraculously to the desert for the express purpose of finding an Ethiopian eunuch who served on the queen in the court of Queen Candace. He was stopped in the desert reading a scroll from the book of Isaiah. And all of a sudden, Philip just poofed. He just was just there. And Philip asked him, "Do you know what you're talking about, what you're reading about?" But he was confused. And so beginning in Isaiah, Philip shares about the Christ. And the Ethiopian Jew believes in Jesus and asks to be baptized. Acts chapter 9, Saul pursues Jewish Christians to torture and imprison them. And Jesus meets him in a vision on the road to Damascus. And then Saul comes to faith. Acts chapter 10, God reveals the gospel is not just for the Jews. God gave a vision to Peter. Peter was in a trance, and a great sheet was lowered with all kinds of animals, reptiles, and birds of the air, things that were unclean for Jews. And then a voice came to him that said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter says, "Oh, Lord, no, I've never done this before." And it happened three times. And God said, "What God has made clean, do not call common." Then God told Peter that someone's going to knock on the door downstairs. And then there was a knock on the door. And Peter obeyed and went to the home of a God-fearing Gentile, a Roman centurion, and Peter enters the house, breaking all Jewish tradition. And he shares the good news with him and everyone else in the house. And the entire household believes. Peter goes on to record and say to the centurion in Acts 10, verse 42, "He ordered us," meaning Jesus, "ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be judge of all, the living and the dead. He is the one that all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name." God used Peter to break ground among the Gentiles. And all of this was to prepare the disciples to begin to understand that the gospel was to go to the Gentiles and not just stay with the Jews. Stage three. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 1:8 lays out this strategy for advancing the gospel. And Acts chapter 13 is a hinge point. It opens the final chapter in the sequence of taking the gospel from Jerusalem to the uttermost parts. In Acts 13:1, it says, "Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them to.'" Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Notice the partnership that God used to take the gospel to the nations. The Spirit of God led God's people as they prayed. Laborers obeyed God's leading, and they were sent out by God and His people. The Holy Spirit sent out these cross-cultural workers because the local church prayed and gave. Ecclesiastes 4:9 to 12 speaks of the wisdom and strength of partnership. And verse 12 says that a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. It's strong. In the partnership of sending the first missionary effort from a local church, God in the person of the Holy Spirit serves as the first strand. The church in Antioch was the second strand in this story. And then Paul and Barnabas were the third strand. The gospel's advance entered its third stage with God forming a partnership to reach the ends of the earth. Stage three is the stage that we are living in even now. This stage is about partnering to take the gospel to the Gentiles in the remotest parts of the earth. So in Acts 13, you can turn there, in Antioch of Pisidia, Paul is praying and responding to God and the sense of leading that he was giving him. And verse 44 says, "The following week, almost the entire city turned out to hear them preach the word of the Lord. But when some of the Jews saw the crowds, they became jealous, and so they slandered Paul and argued about everything that he said. Then Paul and Barnabas spoke boldly, and he declared, 'It was necessary that we first preach the word to the Jews. But since you rejected it and judged yourselves unworthy of eternal life, we will now offer it to the Gentiles. For the Lord gave us this command when he said, I have made you a light to the Gentiles, to be salvation to the ends of the earth, to the farthest corners of the earth.' When the Gentiles heard this, they were overjoyed and thanked the Lord for his message, and all who were chosen for eternal life became believers. So the Lord's message spread throughout that region." Advancing the gospel takes a partnership, and you, our church family here at Park Hills, have been partnering with Susan and me to advance the gospel to the uttermost parts. We are deeply grateful and thankful for your partnership with us throughout all these years. With God's provision and empowerment, and along with your faithful prayers and financial support, we and those that we lead spread the gospel to some of the most complex, difficult places in the world. Your unwavering prayers and generous support have brought the gospel to unreached places across the Eurasia region. And we thank you and we praise God. Where is Eurasia? Well, there it is. If you have a map, a globe, and you put your finger on San Antonio and put your finger on these places, it's all the way around. Think of the countries of the former Soviet Union. That's what Eurasia is, including all the Central Asian countries that we call the stans, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, Azerbaijan. It's a complex and challenging region of the world. It spans 12 countries, 10 time zones, which is why I don't get a lot of sleep, and many divergent cultures and languages. And as I said, it's about as far away from here as you can travel. There are some, and these are some of the most unchurched places in the world. Six of these countries are over 97% Muslim. All of them have less than 2% born-again believers. Our region is an unstable, economically challenging, socially diverse, and politically unstable region. And you're aware of the war that's going on right now between Russia and Ukraine, and both of those countries are in our region. It's dramatically impacted our ministries, and there are also armed conflicts among four other countries. So six out of the 12 countries that we are responsible for providing some leadership for are at war. Yet, the advance of the gospel is not stopped, and it's not hindered, and God is still on the throne and drawing men and women from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Many of our Ukrainian co-workers have returned to Kyiv with their families, trusting God, seeking to walk with Jesus and to be a witness for Christ among their friends in the middle of missile and drone attacks and disasters and deprivations and horrible crimes that are being perpetrated upon their family members. We have U.S. staff traveling to Kyiv every month that we had to relocate into Budapest, and they spend a week there ministering to our Ukrainian co-workers. Another U.S. co-worker that we lead travels from the U.S. every 2 to 3 months to bring food and supplies for rebuilding walls and roofs, providing basic medical care for orphanages and local churches, right on the front lines near a city called Kherson. They do this all in the name of Jesus, and the gospel is brought to those they help, and people respond to Jesus. Thousands of refugees from Ukraine have fled to nearby countries, and so our ministry has bled over into Poland and Hungary. And so we started a ministry effort in Poland to reach and impact the displaced. Susan and I recently returned from Poland, where we positioned a team to minister to the emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual needs of the displaced and harassed people. They are being given hope in these very dark times, and some have recently trusted Christ and have been baptized. God is at work. And I want to read a note to you from one of the Ukrainians whom our staff has helped at a center that they set up that they call Haven. Igor writes, "Hey guys," he's picking up the American lingo here, "Hey guys, just wanted to say a huge thank you to all of you from Haven. I can feel it very deeply, how what you're doing helps people and helps me, especially in times when I'm living on my own. It's very important to have such a friendly community of so open-minded and kind people, and it's very cool to take part in so many activities organized by you guys. Thank you a lot. I would be much more sad and lonely during my first year as an immigrant in a totally new country, for sure. And I'm learning so much from you about the love of God. On Wednesday evenings, a few young believers and many not yet believers, people interested in learning about Jesus, meet for Bible discussions. And after the Wednesday Bible discussion, they have what they call dinner with Jesus. Since Jesus indwells every believer, Jesus is there at that dinner. And we encourage the believers there to be conscious of the fact, to allow the Holy Spirit to control them, and to be sensitive to what they hear around the table, and to connect with hearts. And so, it's dinner with Jesus. During dinner, they talk about how Jesus is real to them and is at work in their lives, and their friends ask deep, penetrating questions. One fellow, Andre, has been reading the Bible with him for 7 months now. He always has great questions as he wrestles with who Jesus is and how to relate to him. Vita chimes in and shares that Jesus has helped her in her desolation, her sense of helplessness and loneliness because of the war. She says that Jesus gives her unexplainable peace. Jesus is at work in the hearts of people in this community as he draws them to himself. And you have had a hand in that because of your partnership with us. Russia. Since 2014, Susan and I have traveled in and out of Russia. We visited our Russian and American co-workers on this broad team that we lead. In 10 different cities, they share Christ, help each other become more established in their faith, and they labor to raise up more workers for the harvest, praying that they will be able to do the same. Our team in Siberia has established 7 churches in 6 cities, and these churches continue to grow, and they reach out and take the gospel to their friends and family. Our U.S. staff and families lived and labored in Russia for years, but the war has changed things. And 2 weeks ago, one of our colleagues arrived at the airport in Moscow to make a visit. He was questioned, his passport was seized, he was detained for over 8 hours, and his valid visa was revoked, all because he was an American. He was told to never return or he would be imprisoned. So we can no longer have missionaries from the West go into Russia. But since Russian nationals across the country can still labor, we are finding creative ways to continue to resource them and encourage them by meeting them outside the country, just across the border. Many of you remember that Park Hill sent Susan and me to pioneer the ministry in Tajikistan in 2007. And by the grace of God, many Tajiks have come to faith over these years, and now a thriving team leads the work. Several young Tajik women who became believers some years ago leads the outreach now to the women. And they tell stories of Jesus from the scriptures and how their lives have been impacted and changed. 3 women, whom we call Amazing, Beauty, and Delight, we can't use their real names, have been growing in their faith. And with love and grace, they gather other women together and they share Jesus with them. Now, when they come to faith in Jesus, women often suffer persecution by their fathers and by their brothers. And it can be very dangerous to believe in Jesus. But they continue to do so. And they continue to be a witness and share the gospel. And they do so by allowing Jesus to change their lives. And as their transformation is becoming more evident, people notice it and their hearts are opening. And they listen to their words and their stories. Recently, they heard a new believer that they named Innocent share her story of trusting Jesus just this last week. And these 3 were overwhelmed with joy. Innocent reported, "They just kept hugging me every time I shared another part of my story of Jesus coming into my life." The woman that we call Amazing said, "This has given me so much hope that my people are going to know Jesus and be his. Please pray for us. Pray for our work as we travel back to Central Asia next Tuesday. We will come alongside the local team in Kyrgyzstan. God has blessed their outreach to Muslims through a medical clinic that they started that serves over 5,000 disenfranchised and poor people who live on the outskirts of the capital city. And every month, they're seeing women come to faith in Christ, and some men as well. The women tend to respond easier. A week later, we meet with 22 of our leaders that we're pulling in from around the region to learn together how to be more effective in leading and partnering with the next generation. And after those sessions, Susan and I and two other colleagues will then travel to the capital city of a different country in Eurasia that we've never been to before. And we're going to do a survey and asking God whether or not that next country should be the place that we should open up a new ministry. So pray for us. Remember Acts 13:46, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Eurasia is made up of many tribes, languages, and peoples, most of them unreached. And I pray that the people of Eurasia will be able to sing a new song. Revelation 5:9 says, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed a people from every tribe and language and people and nation. Park Hills, you are partners with us in this ministry across the region of Eurasia. Unreached people are encountering Jesus. Locals are being trained to labor in the harvest. Believers are forming new places to gather each week to worship Jesus. Thank you. Thank you so much for your prayers and your financial partnership. Jesus is at work through you. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you, Lord, so much for all that you have done, for your faithfulness. Lord, thank you for the way that you are drawing men and women and boys and girls to yourself. We give you all the praise and glory and honor. Lord, you're the one who is doing this work. And God, we pray for our colleagues who are in these very hard and difficult places to live, where they face danger every day. Lord, we ask for your mercy. Lord, we ask for your protection and for your provision. Lord, thank you so much for Park Hills. Thank you, Lord, for the dear friends that we have here over all these years. And Lord, for their faithfulness in partnering with us in the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.